evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheesehead Nation's first regular season edition of Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky. And of course, Cheesehead Nation would not be complete without Brian Caravu working behind the scenes, on the blog, and everywhere else. So big thanks to Brian. Why don't you tell the people what's on tap tonight, Corey?
Tonight, we will be speaking live with Jason Wilde, the Packers beat reporter for the new ESPNMilwaukee.com and ESPNMadison.com. Obviously, we'll talk to Jason about the big win over the Bears. Well, that we played the Bears.
Apparently.
Talk about what adjustments need to be made and take a look ahead at Sunday's game against the Bengals. So let's get started.
And where do we start? But with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We got the good. We got Johnny Jolly.
Unbelievable.
Aaron Campman.
Redemption.
Cullen Jenkins.
Big Sexy in the house.
We got the bad. We got Donald Driver.
Cannot drop those balls.
Aaron Rodgers.
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about it.
Darren College.
Darren. Barber's getting all the pub, but wow, Darren did not have a good game.
And we got the ugly.
We got Alan Barr. Oh, my goodness.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it is. And like I said, he's got all the pub this week. All the talk. Alan Barber, overmatched. I just fail to see how anyone could dispute that. So like I said, good, bad, and the ugly. Here we are. Big win over the Bears. Big win over the Bears. You were here, I believe.
That was good stuff. Yes, I was. I had my family in town,
all
in
right.
New York,
nice,
and
nice.
We were watching in HD, and we had lots of people on the new Packer Game Day live chat. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I was in and out, because obviously I'm you know, as you were, dealing with family, but it's great. I love all the regulars are on, and some new faces.
Yeah, it was great. We were monitoring that, and monitoring the live blog was still happening.
Absolutely.
And thanks to Brian Caravu, I believe we are going to have live blogs and game day chats, believe it or not.
Because we just don't mess around. We just don't mess around here at Cheesehead Nation.
So, you know, when we have games where we need streams and stuff, we'll have the live blog, and we'll have chats for everybody who's a big fat nerd like me.
Okay, I got a question I got to ask you. When Rodgers hit Jennings for that huge 50-yard winning touchdown, did your neighbors complain about the noise?
No. But most of my neighbors are here in this country illegally. So they tend, and I'm not saying that like any.
No, it's the truth.
I live in New York City, so.
It's true.
And in the neighborhood I live in, a lot of people are from the Dominican Republic.
There you go.
And right. They're here illegally, and so.
They're not going to complain to anybody?
No, they don't tend to complain about things. when I had a drum set in here, which one day on the show, the intro will be me playing drums.
We're going to rock it, definitely.
Then the lady downstairs would complain. But no, they didn't. You know, my nephew, he's three now.
Right.
So he was really funny. He used to cower when I used to yell. But now, every time I yell, he would just start yelling.
Yeah.
So it was
they go through that. My middle daughter went through the exact same phase. You were over when Favre hit Jennings for the winning touchdown against San Diego. And
yes.
She went nuts. And now she's fine. Like, everybody yells, we yell too. It was great. I woke up my neighbors. They were very unhappy. I woke up one of my children, which was even worse, but it was great. It was a great night.
It was amazing. Everybody had butterflies in their stomach.
It was way too tense. Wasn't ready for that.
Well, I heard Bedard this morning was talking about how no one can say now that Aaron Rodgers
can't come back in the end. Like I said,
that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I think I wrote on the blog earlier this week. Last year they lose that game. There's no question about it. They lose that game. And the fashion in which he did it, Rodgers throwing the big bomb to Jennings. I mean, shades of the Bronco game again against Cutler. In 2007. And it reminded me a lot of the Philly game in 2007, the season opener, where offense is a little out of sync. Fits and starts. The defense dominates. It was just a game they had to win in the fashion they won it, and I'm just obviously ecstatic that they did, but much work remains.
Oh, yeah.
And how do people feel about the preseason now?
Well, and how do people feel about the Packers' offensive line?
How many
times have I said it's the weakest link on the team?
But wait a second. You were on board with the offensive line after the Cardinal game. You were on board. Whatever. We've got video evidence to prove it.
Whatever.
You were on board, Gori Banky. So
whatever.
You were right, but you were wrong when you got off.
You know what?
That train.
Okay, whatever. The other interesting thing. I agree. The other interesting thing that I've been listening to since we're having Jason Wilde on, I decided to listen to the ESPN morning shows.
Right, right.
That guy Homer. Ouch. I feel sorry for the people in Wisconsin that have to listen to that guy. But I digress. I don't want to be mean to, you know, Jason Wilde's got to deal with that guy. So I guess we do, too. So they're talking every question. Okay. And even to Bedard this morning, too. He's on 1250
right,
a.m.
Right,
like, it's really cool that all the radio stations, you can listen to them the day of. It used to be you had to wait the next day for almost all of them.
For all the process.
So, you know, I'm listening to this, and everybody's like, all right, so when are we going to sign Mark Tauscher?
Hey, I that's not such a far-fetched idea.
Well, it is in the sense that Mark Tauscher, if he signed today,
right.
is not going to play in Sunday's game.
No, he's not. But you're going to feel
guess who's
a little
play?
Better about it.
Alan Barber is going to play in Sunday's game.
He is.
Okay, no matter what happens, the same offensive line that we saw this past Sunday.
We'll play on Sunday.
We'll play this Sunday.
Hey, speaking of Alan Barber, we have a video that I want everyone to see. Barber gets beat is what I've titled it, very aptly, I might add. But I just want to show people his biggest problem here. It's two things. We got balance, and we've got his lack of explosion. Now, you see, not only does he let the guy, right here, watch, his arms, he doesn't even get into him. In those first two steps, he's got to get those arms out. He's got to jab the guy right in the shoulder pads and like the chest plate right here. You got to get that within the first step, the second step at the latest. But after, like, Ogunleye was a step and a half, two steps ahead of him every single play. And it just continued on all night. Even on plays where he was blocked, he, you know, Ogunleye was coming around the corner full bear. I mean, even the play to Jennings, Ogunleye almost gets him from behind. He almost gets Rodgers and strips the ball.
To be fair, Alan Barber was the weakest link.
Yes, but the
whole offensive line
was problematic.
Ouch.
Absolutely. And this calls into question, it doesn't call into question, but it shines it shines a light on James Campen.
Well, and what
suddenly
about that? Is James Campen on the chopping block?
I mean, there were rumors. End of the season last year.
Well, right.
When tons of, you know, everyone was like, oh, Bob Sanders is going to be fired, blah, 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 blah. And there were a few reports that perhaps Campen might go. He stuck around, as we know. But after a performance like we saw on Sunday, two nights ago, that's shocking to me. It's just shocking that you go through all the offseason programs, all training camp, four preseason games, and then you come out. And I understand, like, during the preseason, they look good. But during the preseason, they're not going against any kind of stunting, very minimal blitzing. But you got to think they're practicing that in practice. And you got to think they practiced against some of that during the week. But to come out, you know, in the opening game and look like that.
Well, and here's the thing. They're practicing against Big Sexy, Johnny Jock. They're practicing
against
guys.
They're not practicing against a joke.
Yeah, they're practicing against guys that, you know, maybe the Chicago offensive line just sucks a big one.
Yeah, possibly, but I don't think so.
I like to believe
that. The guards do.
I will say
that.
I like to believe that. The Chicago Bears are terrible, and that makes me really happy. Jay Cutler, that picture that we're using for the live blog on Sports Bubbler,
right?
That Dan found at Sports Bubbler. It says it all.
Yeah,
he's really like. He's like on one leg, and he's got Big Sexy, he's got Charles Woodson, he's looking at, I mean, I would not.
Hey, speaking of Big Sexy, I think we have a video of Big Sexy.
We do?
Somewhere in the archives.
In the annals?
Look, okay, here he comes. All right, now watch him just shed this, come over, and oh, come on, are you kidding me? That's fantastic. I could watch that all night. I really could. That's like, that video to me is like you with the Favre Trader video.
No, let's watch it again.
Yeah, because it's just
that's
fantastic.
Nice. Oh, one way. No,
oh, come
you
on.
Can't go that way.
You know who? Okay, and another thing to note on this is that Charles Woodson is lined up over Olsen. Greg Olsen was coming into this, you know, coming into this year as their number one weapon. Whenever you ask any Bear fan or any actually football observer, who's Cutler going to throw to? Oh, Greg Olsen, he's great. Blah, 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 blah. One catch.
Yeah.
Even
Pelissero was like, I'm not knocking Pelissero, but Pelissero was like, who's he going to throw to? Greg Olsen 35 times in the game.
Well, yeah.
But he couldn't.
And when you put Charles Woodson on, and Charles Woodson, there's some Charles Woodson hating going on.
Well, that's the other thing I want to say is, you know, listening to ESPN 540.
Don't get him started.
And listening to the ESPN. Now, everybody who's watching this knows how terrible ESPN is in general. I mean, any broadcast that uses Mike Greenberg as your play-by-play guy for a game.
Don't start.
Seriously?
Don't start.
Seriously. Mike Greenberg? Come on. Don't anyway, stop. So these guys on the radio shows with Jason Wilde, they're talking junk about Charles Woodson. Okay, now look, I can't speak right now. I'm very upset.
You're very upset.
Just,
I see you.
It's just ridiculous.
I hear you.
It's ridiculous.
You. Okay, here's what this is my problem is that everyone who's hating on Charles Woodson, yeah, the rookie flew by him. The rookie who's one of the, if not the fastest player in the NFL, flew by him. Yes, it happens. All right? Woodson underestimated his speed. Oh dear. Forget
well,
it. It's going to happen.
And you just need a little bit of perspective here, okay? Two things. There's two things I'm going to say, and I don't know the exact statistics, but I would say if you don't get burned 75% of the time in a game, you're an amazing cornerback.
Exactly.
Okay, and the second thing
at least you're an NFL-worthy quarterback.
It's a lot harder to backpedal against a dude you don't know what he's going to do than it is to know exactly what you're going to do and run forward.
Right. No,
and
absolutely.
I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm just putting Charles Woodson here in a category,
right,
and then all the other cornerbacks in the NFL in another category, because they are.
Well, it's interesting because Collinsworth let the cat out of the bag that Woodson is their quarterback. He is making all the calls on defense, and up until as far as I can see, recall, I haven't seen that reported anywhere. All preseason, camp, anywhere.
Seriously, does anybody think that Nick Collins or Aaron Rouse,
or
Atari Bigby before he's injured,
no, you don't,
were actually making the calls?
And that's the thing.
I don't.
It plays into why they probably felt fine about Nick Collins sitting out. I remember because everything during the offseason was Nick Collins, he's going to be so far behind, he's the quarterback of the defense, blah, 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 blah. No, it's Charles Woodson. And that's the thing. Who's their best receiver? Greg Olsen. How many catches did he have? One. You know, there was a point where they put up a graphic underneath Greg Olsen's picture saying zero catches tonight. You know why? Because of Charles Woodson.
That's true. Well, you know, I was thinking of Mr. Tom Pelissero every time Devin Hester was catching. He had a pretty good game.
He did. He looked all right.
He had a pretty good game.
He looked all right.
I felt like, you know, and the season will tell.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the jury's still out on Devin Hester and whether that move was a good move for the Bears.
But that's the thing. It's like you can't.
Not that I care.
No, exactly. But week one is so topsy-turvy anyway. You know how topsy-turvy week one is? I got every single pick right in my office pool. Every single game.
Mm.
Every one. I've never done that and I'll never do it again. But that's how topsy-turvy it is that I got everything right. That never happens. And it will never happen again.
No.
But sticking back with the pack. So Big Sexy.
Big Sexy.
Johnny Jolly with the
one-handed
interception.
Too bad he's going to jail next year because he's good.
He's not going to jail. He's down in Texas.
I know.
He plays football.
I know.
And he's from Texas. There's no way he's going to jail.
It's true.
There's no way.
It's true. I know.
There's no
I just
way.
Wanted to say.
However, he will be an unrestricted free agent. And he's playing like it. He's making himself some money. He made himself some money last
Well, and
night.
You know what's funny? I saw an Adam, speaking of people who shouldn't have jobs, I saw an Adam Schein video, right? This is an Adam Schein video.
Dude, you know, we were never going to get picked up by anybody for anything.
That's
like,
fine.
People are going to be like, we could use the guys from Cheesehead TV. No, they hate us.
No.
And then that'll be it. We'll never get a job
anywhere. Cheesehead TV, we're independent. We're independent Packer fans. We'll never make money, but we will be our own men. We will use the First Amendment until
someone burns us down.
Yeah, decides to tell Roadrunner to stop our feed.
Exactly.
No, but Adam Schein, this video, I did not post it to Packer Video on purpose.
Right.
It's like from a month ago, and I just didn't get it. He is talking so much trash about Aaron Kampman. It's ridiculous.
Well, some here on this broadcast tonight would say that I talk a lot of trash about Aaron Kampman.
Yeah, but at least you preface the trash talking with specific circumstances of why this guy is saying
That's
he
true.
Will not fit. And I think Aaron Kampman proved that he fits in this defense.
Well, okay, whoa. He didn't prove anything on Sunday night. He looked good. There was one play in particular where he had to turn and run. I was like, oh, but they got to him with the blitz, so it didn't matter. But he made a play.
He had penetration the entire game.
He was great. No. He was great. But he made a play out on the perimeter It was the most, one of the smartest plays I have ever seen. And I haven't had the chance to go back and grab it on the video, but I will, and I will post it on the blog later this week.
What's wrong with you?
I know. I have no life. Well, that's the problem. I do have a life, so. Anyway, he's out on the perimeter, and he's literally getting blocked out of this play. And his natural momentum would have taken him completely out of the way of the ball carrier. But he recognizes what's happening and, like, just switches his trajectory while getting blocked. He lets the guy block him into the tackle.
He's, well...
Like, he keeps the contain and almost makes a tackle just because of his smarts.
He's always been a smart player, though.
Yeah, he has.
And honestly, an insane play. When he was playing in a cast... when he was playing in a cast for Mike Sherman,
right.
His smartness is what kept him on the roster
and
his second and third year.
Absolutely. I remember. Absolutely.
You know,
couldn't agree more.
And when we played Vic, he was always the guy. He was always the one of the only defensive linemen who actually did have contain.
Well, in the game in Atlanta, the 4-12 season, Sherman's last year, Cameron was lights out because of his smarts.
I was just surprised that when they did start, like once we were getting pressure and they did start running screens and stuff,
right.
Is that those weren't working, you know?
But that's my point. Like the discipline was amazing.
I was surprised at that.
Dom Capers apparently built Rome in a day.
There you go.
Brian Carafoo in the house. Brian got called out by Greg Bedard.
Man.
That was unfortunate.
He did?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see it. On Twitter,
He did.
Oh, speaking of... Okay, there's so much to cover. Oh, my goodness. All right, speaking of Twitter, and speaking of the defense, Nick Barnett played. I mean, he is 9 months removed from knee surgery, and he played Sunday night, and he played well. I mean, he didn't have any big plays, but he was a Simon Schur, and this is a guy who basically has had, like, maybe 2 weeks on the field. In this defense, I was insanely impressed. But there's a reason.
Well, he's supposed to be the best linebacker on our team.
But here's the reason. There's a reason he was so assignment sure. And he posted a visual piece of evidence.
Yeah, we're going to have to show that in the second segment.
As to why. Why in the second segment?
Because I don't have it right now.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah, that's I forgot right. about putting it on.
Okay.
Oopsie.
All right. Well, we'll look at it in the second segment. It's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll see it. It's really cool.
It's so excellent. But we'll look at it. We'll look at it after the Jason interview.
Yeah.
But yeah, Barnett, I was so... It's weird because I was proud of him. Like, he's not my kid, but I was proud of him.
No,
he came back.
He's definitely not your kid. Although he does call you sir.
He did. He called me sir tonight. Poor guy.
Makes you feel old,
it? Makes me feel really old. Like, that's just... Nick, I know you're watching. Don't call me sir. All right? That's not good.
I'd rather him call you sir than boy.
or hey you.
Or yo. Or hey
whatever.
Punk.
Yeah, punk or... I hate your blog or whatever.
Or you suck.
Yeah, exactly. So, sir, I guess I'll take sir. That's good. AJ Hawk, another linebacker who surprised and impressed.
You know, I think the best linebacker in the game.
Brandon Chiller.
Hands down.
I mean, you can't even deny that.
Hands down.
That he was off the hook. That play where he leaps over Garrett Wolf and catches Cutler from behind for the sack. I mean, oh my, that was ridiculous. That was just ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, you just don't see that in an NFL game every week.
Well, you know what else you don't see? You don't see that many interceptions in the first half.
Oh, I know. How could you not love that? The defense, ridiculous. Dom Capers, unbelievable. But switching over to the offensive side, I mean, we started with Alan Barber and the frustrations there. Some other
Yikes.
Frustration with Jermichael Finley.
Where was he? Was he playing?
He was, and this is very interesting.
Wait, I didn't see him on the stat sheet.
I had one catch.
Oh, there he is.
He didn't want to talk to anybody after the game. You know, the hunch is that he didn't want to have another Tennessee situation from last year. he had a little tiff with Bedard on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't see that
yesterday.
You're like a Twitter machine.
I got my tweet deck up at work. I can't stop. I gotta know what's going on. But, yeah, he had a little altercation with Bedard the other day. But now he's back. He quit Twitter for a day, and now he's back. He's actually officially back on Twitter tonight. So if you want to go, say hi. I just want to show people what happened to Jermichael Finley. So leading up to this, everyone knows who reads the blog, I was all about Jermichael. This kid is ridiculous. But I'm not the only one. Bob McGinn was talking about how this kid is just going to blow up the league. Like, all preseason, all through camp, all we heard was how amazing Jermichael Finley was.
Well,
how no one could cover him.
I think by as the season goes on,
we'll see more of that.
Oh,
I think we'll see that. But so, here's an example. But play the first one.
Okay.
Okay. So here's, okay, JerMichael Finley is at your bottom of your screen. He's Rodgers is looking at him. Oh, wait, he's on the ground. All right, now watch again. That's JerMichael at the bottom of the screen. He is the first read. Rodgers is looking right at him. He gets back into his drop, and he's on the ground. All right, so there's that. All right, now here's the second one. Here comes JerMichael. He's ready to go. He's very excited. He's out. He's the one of the... Oh, Aaron's on the ground. Let's see that again. Here comes JerMichael in motion. He's very excited. Look at... Oh, he's so excited. I'm going to run for a pass. I'm going to give it... Aaron barely turns around, and he's on the ground. So after a couple of these, obviously, JerMichael gets... You know, he has to chip somebody. He has to chip the guy who's causing the problem. So what does he do? On your butt. I mean... Just let that run again. Watch him take out every bit of frustration on Agunlier. This is just brilliant. Sit down, son. I mean,
he like clothesline.
That is just so great. How did I'm gonna put that up on the blog. I'm just gonna have its own post just so everyone can watch
that,
it whenever they want.
That is ridiculous.
It is such a great. I mean, he was so mad.
I wonder if Larry McCarron said something about it. I didn't listen.
I wasn't
to the,
hearing. I was
to
listening.
The
to, yeah, exactly. I was listening, but. So Finley, supremely frustrated, but and a lot of people were like, where did he go? How did he disappear? It's all about the offensive line. And Philbin made a great, the offensive coordinator, Joe Philbin, made a perfect point. You know, when he said, you know, when we, he said that when he keeps track of third and longs, he has a sheet up in the box where he writes down like the situation, like with the down and distance and blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
He has a sheet reserved just for third and long, for like third and 11 and longer, third and nine longer.
I wonder how
like
many
that.
Of those plays are play action.
A few of them were. That last one was where Rodgers went down. But so on, so he says usually it takes up like there's like four or five, and I fill up a sheet. He had to turn the sheet over and go onto an extra sheet. There were so many third and longs, and on third and long, you're not throwing to your tight end down the middle because. You can't give your quarterback time to find him.
Although, speaking of a game that has nothing to do with the Packer game,
uh-oh.
That Bills-Patriots game last night.
That was ridiculous.
Okay, at the end of the game, hello, not before they screwed up the end and they had no more time.
Yeah.
They didn't throw anything in the middle.
No.
They had two timeouts, and they don't throw anything in the middle. It's like, hello, it's going to be open all day, you dipwads.
Dipwads.
That's what happens when Dick Geron's your coach.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate.
It's really unfortunate.
Some would say they had that game won before the fumble. There by McKelvin,
yeah.
Whatever his name is, and unfortunately the Bills fans vandalized his lawn today.
The only thing worse than Dick Geron as your coach,
what's that?
Is Mike Greenberg as your play-by-play announcer? Easy, thank you very
easy.
Much.
Oh goodness,
I'm here all night.
We set that up for you, didn't we?
Oh
no, but so Finley was frustrated, and I think rightfully so. I mean, he's ready. You know, all preseason he's heard about how and like the Cardinal game. Look at the Cardinal game. He has two touchdowns. He's like dominating people. You know, he's just. Running all over the place. And then he comes into the regular season, and Rodgers doesn't even have time to find him. So I think his frustration is completely understandable, and I think it's got to be a sign of forward progress, maturity-wise, that, you know, he just said, no comp, I don't want to talk to anybody after the game. Because you got to know, you know, the reporters were looking for him. You know, all preseason, their storylines have been how great JerMichael's looking and how much he's going to dominate. And then he does absolutely nothing. Of course they're going to come find him. So... You know, yeah, should he have manned up and at least talked to somebody? Yeah, probably. But he didn't say, like, oh, the offensive line sucked, you know, or they couldn't give Rodgers time to find, you know, a receiver, namely me. You know, it was like he just said, I just don't want to talk about it, which after last season, you got to think that's a forward step for JerMichael.
I guess. Let's talk about the running game.
Oh, what running game?
Wait, let's look at the stats.
They're
Let's
not
see,
pretty.
Rushing, Ryan Grant, 16 attempts, 61 yards for an average of 3.8.
And the thing is, and there's a 25-something yarder taken out of there because of Spitz's ridiculous holding penalty, where he didn't even have to throw the guy to the ground, and he does, and it gets called back. But, you know, in the next play, Grant had a nice off-tackle run, but it's just plays like that. It's just killing them all night.
I mean, 67 yards will get you 1,000 in 16 games, but just barely.
Did you really just do that math?
I did. Well, I did the estimate,
that's
but I'm sure
impressive.
Somebody on the live blog will tell me that it's 990 something whatever.
Here, I have a calculator right here.
Don't please. Yeah,
I
please.
Gotta do it.
He's gotta do it,
16
ladies and gentlemen.
Times 67. Yeah, 1,072.
Whoa. Hello. Whoa. Did someone seriously suggested that Brandon Chiller would be a better safety than Atari Bigby?
Mm.
I just read. Wait, there's something. I'm sorry. Is my computer broken? I'm sorry.
Wait, we're not looking.
Did I just read that? Is my computer in Chinese all
speaking,
of a sudden?
Speaking of Atari Bigby.
What?
How long is he going to be out? I heard on the radio Darren Perry said only a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, he's definitely out this week, which means Aaron Rouse gets the start. Aaron Rouse set to prove that the cutting of Anthony Smith and the keeping of Aaron Rouse was not a mistake. Like I said, I hope it's not a mistake. Now Aaron Rouse gets to prove it's not a mistake. And Bigby, you know, he was having a decent game. He had six tackles before he got hurt, and he was in the action. He was bringing it. So
you know who had a good game but needs a little improvement?
Who's that?
Oh, man, Tremont.
Tremont, he just needs to hold on to the ball.
He's in the right place at the right time.
He had
a
pick six on that first drive.
He really did.
If he just holds on to it.
He really did.
Tremont.
He was still good, though.
Oh, wait. But speaking of Tremont, we got Tremont.
Oh, yeah, we do.
You got to see this for many reasons. But this is Tremont's big pick and run back, and it's brilliant. But first of all, I just want to commend Big Sexy there for flushing out Cutler. But watch Nick Collins, all right? Now, here comes Nick, the bottom of your screen. He's going to come in. Here he comes flying. He's looking for Cutler. I love that.
I love it when you target the quarterback.
It's the best. I mean, it's great. Like, here comes Big Sexy. Oh, no. Oh, over the middle eight. Don't ever do that, quarterback. That's the first rule. And then, oh, he's running. And you got to think at this point, oh, it's a touchdown. Oh, here comes Collins. And there's Cutler.
He really did, target him.
I love that.
That was
again,
nice.
I could watch that all night, but that would really bore people.
That was exciting. I don't think it would bore anybody, actually.
You don't think so?
I think they would actually be more interested
to watch
that play and listen to us than watch us.
You're probably right.
But I'm self-deprecating.
Yeah, it's true. As am I.
I'm a little more attractive than Jay Leno, but I don't have 2.8 million viewers. Oh, yeah, 18 million, sorry.
Oh, dear. Hey, all I know is his interview at halftime the other night was just about the most gruesome thing I've ever seen.
Who, Jay Cutler?
No. They did a live thing with Jay Leno.
Ouch.
On NBC. I think it was Thursday night.
I think Jay Leno did more interviews last week than he's ever done in his whole entire life. He was on PBS. I mean, when's the last time he was on PBS?
This is 2 weeks in a row. You know what I forgot to do?
What's that?
I forgot to give a shout out to our guest featured blogger. We have Tony Wilson in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike McCarthy's Feedbag in the house.
In the house. And Tony used to write for the Sporting News as one of their fantasy experts.
Wow.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you're on the live blog. Shoot him a question about your fantasy team heading into week two.
Hey, Tony.
Because Lord knows I know nothing.
You know what? Tony might be good for the NFL blog on Cheesehead TV.
He might be. Tony, shoot us an email.
Tony.
We need an NFL blogger.
We got a job for you.
You know, a non-paying job.
A non-paying job, but it has a lot of viewers.
A lot of viewers. A lot of potential.
Lots of potential. Kind of like the Green Bay Packers.
A lot of potential. Could go places. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Packers this year. Like, you look at that first game, and you think, okay, wait a second. Wasn't our offense supposed to be great? Wasn't our defense supposed to have trouble at first and then get better? Well, okay. Let's just say this. The defense will improve. The offense will improve. This team will only improve. Will only get better. And that's exciting.
I only have one exception to that rule.
What's that?
I'm still not sure that Alan Barber will improve.
Well, we'll talk to Jason
Wilde. Seriously?
We'll talk to Jason Wilde on the other side of the break.
I think there's people who probably agree with that statement.
I think there are. And
because is he a Tony Mall? Is he?
Hey, as I wrote on the blog, Tony Mall did a better job against Mario Williams last year, who is like a premier pass rusher in the NFL.
Yes, he is.
Than Barber did against a journeyman defensive end on Sunday night. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Jason Wilde from ESPNMilwaukee.com and ESPNMadison.com. So stick around. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the line with Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com and ESPNMadison.com. How are you tonight, Jason?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, I know what a cavalcade of stars you guys have already had with Bernard and Pelissero, so I'm just trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, nice. I apparently so. I mean, it's all the talk of Packer Nation, no doubt.
It's all the talk on Twitter, I'll say that, man. Aaron has more celebrities twittering back and forth with him than anybody else I've seen on Twitter. I'm waiting for Ocho Cinco this week.
There you go.
He'll pick me up eventually. Don't you worry.
I listened to your ESPN Madison nine minute segment this morning, and your ESPN Milwaukee segment with Homer this morning, and I have to say I'm going to be listening pretty much every time you're on now. Because it was good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope you caught my appearance with Drew Olsen and Dan Needles when I zinged at Dan Needles for not reading my stories.
So, yeah. The joke was that you don't watch football. You actually listen to the radio because that's more old school. That was nice.
Yes, because he doesn't have a computer, apparently.
Yeah. But,
you know.
So think about what he's missing on Cheesehead TV because he doesn't have a computer.
Exactly.
Precisely. Obviously. We're sure you'll be spreading the gospel, so... first of all, wait. Before we go any further here, Jason, how are you feeling? I mean, you ended up, in the hospital on the eve of training camp. What happened, and is everything all right?
Everything is fine. I appreciate you asking. It's an interesting experience when you've never had surgery before. I had an intestinal problem that had required surgical
Ouch.
Repair.
Ouch.
And knocked me out. I started the season on the PUP. I flunked my physical, and then I still beat BJ Raji to camp.
Very nice.
And then obviously, I mean, it's kind of been bang bang, and then right after that, almost you make this move to ESPNMilwaukee.com and ESPNMadison.com. I mean, how did that come about? Did they approach you? Did you send them begging letters? I mean, what happened?
And can we get a job?
Well, the way newspapers are going, I think we're all sending those kind of letters probably. But,
right.
I decided that, you know, Paula and I got married.
Congratulations,
pregnant,
by the way.
She, thank you. She's pregnant. I'm just some guy.
You're just chilling. Hey, I got three. I know where you are.
It's all right.
And then we had the hospitalization thing, and I figured, why not try and jam as many life-changing experiences into a small window of time? So let's try changing jobs. I'm thinking about selling the house, buying a car, and getting a dog all this week.
There you go. You just come up with everything. You got to go Sean Penn on the whole thing.
It's really exciting for me. Obviously, newspapers are having their problems right now, and ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison, which is owned by Craig Karmazin. It's a great company to be a part of, and it's exciting to be part of something that's growing instead of contracting, and something that's positive instead of negative with cutting and
absolutely
reducing staffs and so on. So
well, Jason, you tell your employers that I had never once, ever visited their websites until you came on board. All right.
Well,
so
see,
that's your
power. You're exactly our target demographic, and I'm sure you were enraptured with Aaron Rodgers talking about how he got his Toyota Tundra.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I was over the moon about that interview only because I found out that Aaron Rodgers' favorite movie is The Princess Bride. And you can quote the entire thing. I love them.
I have to say, though, I was kind of mad when you were, I don't know which one of the shows you were on this morning, but one of the guys was saying, like, Aaron Rodgers liked Out Magazine. I wanted to punch him in the face when he said that. I have to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they make a few jokes in that direction toward me. I didn't think they needed to make that joke toward the quarterback. But
he is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and he just won a big freaking game. So
yeah.
Shut the hell up. But, you know, that we digress.
We digress.
Speaking of the game Sunday night, why we're here, was there anything about the game Sunday night that surprised you, that jumped out at you, that you thought, I really didn't see that coming? I mean, I know it's week one, and obviously everyone's talking about the offensive struggles, and I guess that's a surprise, but, you know, week ones are the way they are, and offenses traditionally start slowly. But was there anything that you saw that you just came out of left field, or was everything pretty much what you thought you would see?
Well, I certainly didn't see the struggles that Alan Barber had coming. I knew that he was obviously one of the new starters on the line, and I knew that the whole idea of taking the approach that they did during training camp to set the line and commit to these five guys so they wouldn't have the musical chairs they've had over the past several years, I thought that that was going to accomplish its goal, and that they might have some growing pains, but right. I thought that they'd be better as a group, and Barber would be better specifically than he was and than they were on Sunday night. I would say this, he wasn't the only one that played poorly. I think Jason Spitz had a rough night. Mm-hmm. Josh Sitton had a penalty called on him, I think, and I don't know about the left side of the line. I would say this, when I asked Mike McCarthy on Monday about the game and whether this is the kind of perfect teaching game, he said you can coach guys harder when you win, right. And you have a bunch of things that you need to fix. And I thought that was very interesting because, these guys obviously have had a lot of success in the preseason. They obviously won a game in very exciting fashion,
right.
And their defense had some very dominating moments, but they certainly left plenty of room for improvement out there. And I think that's the way you want to have to improve, is with getting the win but knowing you didn't play as well as you're capable.
And you can improve, and I think the team will. And it's interesting you say that about McCarthy, because that was always, the lore is that was Lombardi's MO, that, he was always the worst after a win, because he was never satisfied with anything. But after a loss, he was, and the players were expecting a tirade, that he would become, gentler, I guess, is a...
well, and it's interesting too, the approach different coaches take. Like, I was talking to James Campen yesterday, and one of the things that he said was, in a halftime situation when a guy has played poorly in the first half, which obviously was the situation that Alan Barber was in, you have two choices. You can either chew him out, or you can try and calm him down. And he said Alan Barber was the second group. He needed to be calmed down. Now, he also needed to play significantly better, and I think at some level he did, although he clearly got a lot more help, which of course led to them having to do fewer things offensively. If you watch the game-winning play, they do it from a formation where it's two tight ends, two backs.
And Finley still messes up.
Yeah, and Barber almost gets Favre Rodgers sacked. And Finley doesn't make his block either.
Exactly.
That was kind of indicative of, it was kind of a microcosm of the whole night. They made the play, and they win the game, but right. Boy, there was a lot wrong with it as they did it.
Hey, I was reading your post, I think it was Monday. Who gave you the name of the play, the winning play? Which,
that's,
ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening at home,
is a secret that I'm not going to divulge.
Oh, come on! For those of you...
I've always wanted to do that. When you read Sports Illustrated...
I know, exactly! It's so cool! Fake 94 Y Wheel Z post. I mean, that's just fantastic.
I was so excited when I was able to write that, because I grew up, I started getting Sports Illustrated in fourth grade, and my career goal when I went into this business as a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin was to be at Sports Illustrated by the time I was 35, which did not happen. I'm like Kramer. I never got to be a banker. And but I always loved reading it, and I always loved the narrative style that they took in their stories, and that was, it's always in the details, and I just thought that was a terrific detail.
Oh, I was blown away that you actually had the play call. I loved it, and I salute you. And
I'm guessing Mike McCarthy is probably blown away by it too. And I'm going to get hey, where'd you get that from?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to tell him the same thing I told you, that it's a secret.
There you go.
Dang it.
Well, that's all right.
That dang First Amendment.
I know, right? Hey, speaking of the protection problems and Barber and the whole unit as a whole, obviously Barber was the focal point. And there were rumblings that just came out today. I think it was in an ESPN Insider article. And, of course, they make you buy so you can click and they can make some money. But that the team called John Runyan. And apparently that's corroborated, not that the Packers called, but that a team called Runyan. And he had one more visit to make by Pro Football Talk today. Now, we all know Pro Football Talk is not the
you mean NBC
reliable source. But have you heard anything like that? I mean, I know everyone's clamoring for Tauscher, but have you heard either one, like either Tauscher or Runyan, are at least on their radar, or are they dead set they're going to stick with Barber, at least for the time being?
Well, you know how this works, right? I mean, they've got an emergency board.
Right.
I don't know if they use their draft room for it or how they do it, since they obviously don't have the draft anytime soon. But they've got them ranked on at every position of guys that they call if they are in an emergency. And I'm sure John Runyan and Mark Tauscher are on that list. To be perfectly honest with you, Scoop, the only place that I saw that today was on your Twitter. So,
oh well, you know, I'm just chilling out over here in New York.
I look to you for. I think you called it as reliable as a rumor can be.
That's exactly. Someone said, "Is this legit or is it a rumor?" Well, I said, "It's legit as a rumor can get."
Well, at least at Cheesehead TV, we don't go, "Shh, here's what we're hearing."
Oh my God! Don't start that. Don't start that. Anyway, you know, moving. We have focused a lot on the protection issues. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, obviously a lot of people very excited about a lot of things. I mean, most of all, I guess the linebacker play has just been on Sunday night was just lights out. Question for you, though. I mean, I don't know if you saw Greg Bedard put up a little post on his blog today about kind of a mea culpa for A.J. Hawk. Hawk had a great game. I thought he played fantastic. And on the other side of that, a lot of people were talking about Desmond Bishop during the preseason, and I hear, and I done heard an audio clip of you, Mr. Jason, how you're not on board the Desmond Bishop train here. And I just gotta see, like, is that serious? Are you think Desmond Bishop is right where he should be, and you just should stay on the bench?
I'm not sure if he belongs on the bench, but I think he, as Mike McCarthy said yesterday. He talked about the idea of getting him involved on defense, and I think if you can do it on a limited basis, I think that's great. I really like Desmond Bishop, and I think he has oodles of potential, right. Although I don't know if I want to say oodles.
Oodles. We'll edit that out
too
later.
Late.
Don't worry.
Yeah, is it, okay. It's only live.
It won't be on the podcast. All right.
I would say this. I think as big of a playmaker as he's capable of being, and we've seen that firsthand, he also does make mistakes. And it's a little bit like Aaron Rouse, although I would say I like Desmond Bishop more than I like Aaron Rouse at this point. But Aaron Rouse, when he started in place of Nick Collins, he made some plays when he was in there.
Absolutely.
But he also makes mistakes. And, you know, maybe I'm a little bit like those older coaches that certainly wouldn't fit in with kind of the culture in Green Bay where they prefer to go with young players.
Right.
I always feel better about the veteran guys who may be a step slower or don't have some of the athleticism that they had earlier in their career. But they make up for it by knowing where they're supposed to be. Like Woodson, I know he obviously got beat for the long pass other night. But
that's all right.
Whatever he has lost from when he was a Heisman Trophy winner in terms of speed or pure athleticism, he makes up for it in savvy and smarts and knowing exactly where to be all the time and knowing the game so well. And I just feel more comfortable with guys like that. And that's not a knock on whether Desmond Bishop can become that guy.
Right.
But I still don't think he's quite at that point yet, as we've seen in the games where he has been forced into action, whether it was Houston last year
brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, I mean, he made plays in those games.
Yeah, but that's I wrote that you put on the Houston game to see all the good and all the bad of Desmond Bishop.
And I don't want to undercut the good. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm you know, a Desmond Bishop hater because I'm not.
You're playing to a large contingent of Desmond Bishop fans.
There are a lot of Desmond Bishop lovers here in this podcast.
Maybe the thing is, maybe I'm being unfair to him. I'm kind of like that guy who interviews you for a job when you're coming out of college, and he says, you know, I really liked what you had to say, but, you know, you just don't have enough experience.
Yeah, you're green.
Well, until somebody hires me, I can't get that experience.
Absolutely.
And so maybe that's the way they get him this experience, is by playing him maybe in the nickel and rotating him in a little bit the way they seem to be talking about doing.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, like I said, the linebacker core was just lights out. I mean, you just... So many people, and I won't say shocked, but I was very pleasantly surprised by the play of Clay Matthews, especially when you consider how long he was out
CM3.
With the injury. Hey, Jason, going back to last year, just for a little bit, I got to ask, because I know a lot of Packer Nation was, I guess, a buzz with your interviews of both Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson during the entire Brett Favre drama. And I just gotta ask, because I've wondered, and now here I have you on the phone. What have you received?
Did I know what I was doing?
No, exactly. Well, there's that. I won't ask that, because I would never put you on the spot like that. But sensed any kind of, you know, has their attitude towards you changed at all? Did they receive you any different? I mean, I highly doubt it, but have you noticed anything like that? Or have they just been, that is just a question and they just moved on?
You know, I think people maybe misunderstood the spirit of that. I will say it looks a lot different in print.
Oh, of course.
Than right. It came across in the interview. Well, like, had it been done.
Jason, just so
on
you know, everyone in Packer Nation thinks it was brilliant. So whatever it may have looked like in print, it was brilliant. So there's.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, my theory was there's a bunch of people out there, and I think that number of people has decreased as we've seen. The way Favre has operated and the way Aaron Rodgers has played. But at the time that I was doing the interview, there were a lot of people who thought these guys were ruining the team and driving it, you know, into a death spiral that was they were not going to be able to pull out of. And I just thought it was a very natural question, you know. This is your opportunity to tell the people that think you guys don't know what the hell you're doing that you know what you're doing. And I know it came as a surprise to McCarthy.
Right.
But you know, Ted is so unflappable. He was, it didn't faze him at all. And clearly he didn't hold a grudge. He came to visit me in the hospital. So
did you really?
I think nice. He and I are okay. Yeah.
Whoa, you know, Ted Thompson came to visit you in the hospital.
Yeah. Him and John Dorsey. And then,
that's fantastic.
McCarthy called me after the first practice. And I think he threatened to fine me for being, absent without a note from my doctor.
Nice. I'm always excited when he's like, Jason. He does say your name there's interviews where
I know,
he's like,
all the time. Like, I think
yeah,
he's just pestering.
That's because he and I are, I've grown to really like him. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, you know, Mike Sherman's guy. I was, you know, he and I were pretty close.
Right.
And when, you know,
a little
Mike,
closer than
McCarthy
Chris Hovel, anyway. Oh, that's
well,
a whole
sure.
other story.
McCarthy and I, we didn't get off to a great start because I had that one of my rare scoops that Al Harris was going to miss the off-season program because he wanted his contract.
Remember, yeah.
And he was mad about that, which I don't know why he was because it didn't paint the team badly. It painted Al badly.
Absolutely.
But so we got off to a rough start, and he and I are, you know, we're different. He's Pittsburgh macho, and I'm a little more sensitive. Yeah, but now, you know, he makes fun of me for that, and I'm able to give it back to him a little bit, and we get along really well.
Well, he's very just sensitive about his off-season program. I mean, you know, Peter King was asking him about, like, his success in the preseason, and that's all he could talk about was the preseason program or the off-season program. I mean, I understand its importance, and I totally am on board, and I've talked to Andrew Brandt about it on this program. I mean, I understand that, but that's his baby.
Well, it's because of Andrew Brandt that we have people in the off-season program and we are have a successful off-season program.
Absolutely. Jason, going back to ESPNMilwaukee.com and ESPNMadison.com. Dude, that's a mouthful.
I appreciate all the plugs.
That's a mouthful, man.
It is a mouthful.
I don't know if you're watching,
yeah,
but we've got your graphic up here, too, with all the stuff.
I'm doing the wind blur cross transition
between the two. So, I mean, you can't get it any better promotion than you do here at Cheesehead Nation.
Well, we're gonna be ESPNWisconsin.com when that's fully operational, and it'll look very similar to ESPN Boston and ESPN Chicago. So hopefully, the mouthful will by the next time I'm on.
There you go.
You will have less of a mouthful to say.
You know, and I was reading your blog and went back and looked at your preseason predictions. You got the Packers in the Super Bowl, son.
Whoa!
Got the Packers in the Super Bowl, losing to the Patriots.
Oh no!
Do you still feel good about that pick after what you saw Sunday night?
I'm not sure I feel good about the Patriots.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Although I'm if I chase down Tom Brady at the Super Bowl, hopefully he'll talk to me.
Yeah, Susie got the diss.
She got
that
total diss.
Harsh.
Well, I guess I'd rather have Tom Brady dissing me than Joe Namath
kissing. Trying to kiss you, exactly.
That's true.
That was great.
Yeah, you know, and I felt even better the next morning when I picked up the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and saw that Bob McGinn had picked the Packers.
Okay, wait a second.
Lose the Super Bowl to the Steelers.
So now here we are. You're no longer with the print media. You're in the wilderness now. You're in the internet age. So I'm going to faff a little bit here. How ridiculous was the Journal Sentinel's whole Bob McGinn, the Oracle, blah blah blah. Come on. Yeah, he got 6-10 right, But the year before that, he didn't write that they were going like to the Super Bowl or anything. He didn't say they were going to like win all these games until they were 3-0. And then, you know, in the sporting news, when they were 6-10, he's picked them to go like 9-7. So Bob McGinn, the Oracle, has been blown up a little bit. That's a, you
know. I don't comment on other writers. Although I will say this, you do have to pay to read every word that he writes now.
It's true. Almost, exactly. Yeah, the game recap, subscription only.
Even his game story. So,
hey,
and you know what? If I'm the Journal Sentinel, he's my
he's a hot commodity.
Oracle.
No, he's my workhorse. No,
you know,
he is.
He's my go-to guy.
He's definitely the most cantankerous guy in the press conferences, though, right?
He doesn't ask a lot of questions in press conferences.
No, but when he does,
he likes to get stuff one-on-one.
But when he does, it's gold.
But when he does, I'll never forget when he did that with Sherman after they cut Joe Johnson. Sherman wouldn't talk to him one-on-one, so he went after Sherman pretty good about how foolish it was to sign Joe Johnson, which it was.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, he was absolutely right. They didn't do their homework, clearly. The guy was incredibly injury-prone. And
washed up.
That's what he ended up doing when he was in Green Bay.
Hey, you know, speaking of other writers and subscription required, we noticed, Corey and I both separately noticed that, you know, the PAC journalism is great and all, but where's the Cheesehead TV love?
Yeah, I mean, what's
really?
Up? You link to everybody but Cheesehead TV.
I mean, you know, it's not like we don't exist.
Wait a minute. Do I link to everybody but Cheesehead TV? Is that accurate?
Hey, come on. This morning,
or
you
I just
linked...
am not linking to you.
You wait a second. Wait a second. This morning, you linked to every relevant Packer thing and Yahoo Sports. I like
Yahoo Sports and AOL. Linking
I like
to AOL.
I like Charles enough, but come on. Yahoo and AOL over us. Come on.
That was Bedard that linked to AOL.
No.
Yes, it was to Jay Mariotti.
I know. I'm giving you hell.
But I would say, you know, I was not all that familiar with the site until Aaron started taking over Twitter. And now I have a better understanding of it. I'm trying to figure out now, you guys have an affiliation with Railbird Central?
Yeah, we have a Cheesehead Nation. We joined forces with Railbird, which, of course, Railbird's part of sportsbubbler.com. So we joined forces because, you know, when you're an independent Packer blogger, you need all the help you can get.
Absolutely. Now, Brian Caravu is Railbird Central.
Yes.
And he is a must-read.
And he's on the live blog right now. He'll be on after you as he's our special teams. We talk special teams segment in segment 3.
So, you know.
And how does – and what besides the video segments and the podcasts, what's your bread and butter? Like if I'm Joe Average Googler and I find Cheesehead TV, what am I going there for?
You're going there for Aaron, believe it or not. You're going there for Aaron writing, and now he's got video segments, which I will say Aaron's video segments rival anybody in the national sports hemisphere.
Oh, stop.
You go there for Aaron. That's what you know. I'm like the little midget Munchkin in the background.
That's
like,
so not true.
I'm like,
so
I'm,
not
you know
true.
What I'm like? I'm like Homer.
Oh no.
Speaking of Jason, I know you're not going to be able to say this, but I'm sorry that you have to deal with that guy. That's all I have to say about that.
You can't.
Why do you feel that way?
I don't know. I just feel like Wisconsin radio guys get shafted by that guy. I don't know. He doesn't really know.
By Homer?
Yeah.
Well, you see, the thing is that it's a lot of headlines.
I'm
you
a
know,
New
it's
York
a lot of...
media guy, you know, and I'm a Packer fan. So we get to the nitty gritty here, you know, like we've already asked you way more specific questions than I heard this morning. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. They asked you about Barber. They asked you about, is Mark Tauscher coming back? We didn't ask you that. Like, it's just like, seriously, I don't know. They didn't get to the nitty gritty. And I guess, you know, when you're talking about Wisconsin sports, you can't get to the depth. But you know what? You know more about the Packers. You're a Packer beat writer. And as a fan, I want to know what you know. I want to know what you see in the locker room. You know, like, just what you've given us right here is brilliant. Like, it's one of the best interviews we've had so far.
Absolutely.
I mean, so...
That's
yeah, I'll pass that along to Pellicero. I would say this. We've started my little internet-only radio thing. It's
Which
called
is fantastic.
Lambeau Live, and it's from 10 to 11 Central on both of the websites that we've plugged repeatedly. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot more hardcore. It's Bill Johnson and I, and it's just Packers wall to wall. You know, there's nobody making jokes about me going to musicals or, you know, what I'm doing, you know, with my pregnant wife on date night. It's, hardcore Packers, and we try and keep it to that. We've only had two shows. We're trying to have more listenership, but I think we were upwards of, you know, 1,000 people. So that was an accomplishment.
Nice. Yeah, it
there
is.
You go. See? There
but,
you go.
But, you know, if that's something you're, you know, we try to kind of balance it. You know, Drew and Dan on the D-List, the fun of that show is it's kind of a, it's sports, but it's kind of like guy radio.
Right.
Whereas,
mm-hmm, right.
Now, being in New York, are you got, you know, is it Mad Dog and Mike that you pattern your, you'd like to hear more of that
no.
style?
No,
no,
please no.
No.
Goodness,
we are, I'm a Mike Greenberg hater, so sorry, but no.
No, no, not like, Mike and Mike.
Oh,
Mad,
right. Mike and Mad Dog.
That,
no,
isn't
I hear you're
the guy
right.
Who went to?
Yeah, absolutely. Mad Dog. He's actually switched over to satellite radio now, but.
Right.
Yeah, no, I just, it's not that. It's just, it's just, you know, headline driven radio is just boring to us. But I'm sure it's very exciting to lots of people. I'm sure it is. But like Corey said, like, we like to know about the Packers. And you've provided an excellent alternative, Lambeau Live. I saw it on the blog. I have not checked it out yet, but now I will, knowing that it is Packers wall to wall for an hour. How can I not?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, you're like I always tell our guests, you're playing diehards here. So I'm sure every diehard here will be checking it out.
Well, and I'm kind of excited because, you know, in Madison, you don't have a lot of hardcore Packer fans. So now you're going to be playing to now you got Milwaukee, and that's a pretty hardcore city right there.
There you go.
I always hoped that there were more hardcore Packer fans in Madison than we realized. I mean, I'm always curious whether they're hardcore Badger fans in Madison or they're just fans of the atmosphere of Saturday fall afternoon.
Well, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah,
Madison.
Yeah.
We got to talk to Don Banks over there at Sports Illustrated. He's Mr. Madison now.
He is now.
He moved there. I mean, goodness gracious. Jason, I you're just a legend for showing up and giving us your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Please come back anytime. You just send me a tweet, and we'll have you on. Since I seem to dominate the Twitter, again, thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Ladies and gentlemen, ESPNMadison.com, ESPNMilwaukee.com, soon to be ESPNWisconsin.com. Jason, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. I look forward to my next visit.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Jason Wilde, ladies and gentlemen,
on the show.
That was good. I'm serious.
Transplants.
I'm serious about that being one of our best interviews. There were.
No, it's not even one of our. It was the best interview.
Yeah,
hands down.
And Greg Bedard is going to be very mad about that.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I think Greg Bedard will be more upset about that than Tom Pelissero. Actually,
what's funny is that him talking about Pelissero. At least when Jason showed up, stuff didn't start breaking.
That's true.
I mean, whenever Pelissero's here, stuff just starts breaking.
Well, I will say,
stuff just shuts down.
In Tom's defense, I got a faster internet for Jason. So we have faster internet
we
now
do.
At Chiefs
we
TV.
Do. And, but wait. I'm just hoping that Jason was wearing pants.
Why?
Because Pelissero keeps taking his pants off on the Packer Insider thing that they do over there.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
Dude, you take it's just like, no.
I don't watch
Tom,
that.
Stop.
Do you know why I don't watch that? Because of Rob Domofsky.
I know.
I'm just a hater. Why don't people write articles about me being a hater? I feel a little good because finally I asked some questions and I didn't
You're
seem
great.
Like yeah, you know,
great.
I was like, I didn't leave it all to you, which is
no,
good,
you
know.
You should.
Well, it's because I listened to those interviews and you know, yeah, I wish I would have had something to say about Homer that was like more specific about what I don't like.
But you
like.
Were right. No. When you went off and then you said about the things about what fans want to know about the Packers. You know, you've told us more. Like, that was great.
Like,
was
I don't care about Mark Tauscher coming back right now. Okay? It might
I
happen.
Care a little bit. I
okay.
care a little bit.
Mark Tauscher is not the answer to our team, okay?
No,
and when
great,
I'm driving to work in the morning,
right,
that's
right.
not, I would be like, what are you guys talking about, Mark? You know, I was right. thinking about
Let's
a guy.
Move forward.
I was I thinking about a guy going to work in Milwaukee or Madison, thinking about that. And you know what? Right. You know, I wanted to listen to Jason. The only people I had problems with were the people that were asking him the questions.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Most people probably have problems with me asking the questions.
All right.
There
we're going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, We're going to talk to Brian Caravu about special teams, because we actually have stuff to talk about now. And we're going to look at a few more videos, and the fun's just going to keep rolling like it always does here at Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live with Brian Caravu of Railbird Central. How are you tonight, Brian?
Very good, guys. And I just want to, right off the bat, tell everyone Dom Capers is sold 3 hours ago.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how are you
the
tonight?
I'm good. The man of the moment, though, is Sean Slocum. He deserves more credit for last night's win than he is getting anywhere.
Well, let's talk about Jordy Nelson. 4 kickoff returns, 124 yards, a 31-yard average, with a long of 46.
And as I wrote today, I thought he looked a lot better than Will Blackman on kick return.
In the first quarter of last night's game, NBC throws up a graphic, you know, Jordy Nelson, the worst kick returner in the NFL last season.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
He didn't have that many, but enough to qualify for, you know, this statistic. And, he averaged 31 yards on 4 kickoff returns last night and just was a big part of the reason the Packers won the field position game.
Absolutely. That's a great point, and it's something I hadn't thought about.
Now, on punt returns, that's a whole nother story.
I thought Jordy did well.
He had 2, and he had a 7-yard average.
Yeah, but on punt returns, it's a whole other animal. I mean, you're dealing with guys coming to take your, the ball's in the air. You're catching it lots of times. Like, there was one where he was, like, within the inside the 20 where a guy just took his head off as soon as he caught the ball. I mean, punt return is a whole different animal.
You know,
I thought kick return was fantastic.
Okay, but you know who's really good with punt returns?
Who?
Do you know who's really good with punt returns? Who? You know who I saw run a punt return back for
Tremont
a touchdown?
Tremont Williams?
That's right.
All right.
Tremont Williams.
So, Brian, do you think Slocum was more – you think that his being there and his schemes and his dedication to, say, the fundamentals that we heard so much about during preseason and camp, you think that had a great deal to do with the Packers winning that battle?
You know, I guess it's too early to tell after one game, but just everything's pointing in that direction, at least. I mean, to do what they did against the Bears was great. I mean, Devin Hester and Daniel Manning are two of the best return men in the NFL, maybe the two best.
Right.
And what they did to them and bottled them up was simply amazing.
Especially Manning.
I
mean, Manning really hurt them last year. I mean, really hurt them, especially obviously in the game down in Chicago. But you're right. They absolutely didn't let him get loose whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Manning, he averaged 26 yards per kick return last night, and last year he averaged 29 yards. So that's a 3-yard difference, and that's pretty decent on kick returns. But, I mean, between the job they did on him and Hester combined there was good. One thing Mason Crosby touched on during the offseason was the no wedge rule this year,
right,
and how that's changing personnel on kick returns. They're getting rid of the big guys and going to more speed. And the Packers really got down the field right in a hurry last night.
Well, let's talk about Mason Crosby for a second, because is this going to be every game that the Packers start -3?
Easy.
Seriously. No, seriously.
It's not -3. It's
no,
it
0. Is -3. If you miss a field goal, that's -3.
No, it's not. You
yes,
don't get points
is
taken away.
It is. You should.
But
if you did, Mason Crosby wouldn't be on our team.
Brian, have you had a chance to look at it? Did you see what happened there on the 49-yarder where he hit it right or left? I can't remember. But I haven't had a chance to look at it. But did the kick look good? I mean, you're our resident special teams expert, so you better know this.
I mean, it seemed close somewhat. I liked how he bounced back, though. You know, he came out and then he kicked a nice long one, and he kicked one there at the in the fourth quarter. I mean, it didn't end up being the game winner, but he did bounce back, and that was good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess. I don't know.
Corey's just a hater.
I'm so mad at Mason Crosby. I can't tell you. It's like, seriously, kid? Seriously? You cannot miss anything.
Well, because the whole because the whole end of that game is completely different if he makes that kick.
Yeah, if he makes the kick, we don't. Yeah,
you know, the whole strategy on defense when Chicago's driving is different. Like, everything's different. So, I mean, I understand the frustration
at a certain level. If you are an NFL kicker,
right,
you have to perform at a certain level, and if you don't, goodbye.
But if you don't, at least bring in competition. But we're not going to go back there.
No.
So, Brian. But I know you're all touting Sean Slocum and everything. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention your article about Capers building Rome in a day. So you're on board now. You are like a absolute Dom Capers drinking the Kool-Aider now. Is that true?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Dom Capers building Rome in a day. I like the dedication from the moment he came in. I can remember back in like the March, April time frame before the draft, there's stories coming out about how all the players are meeting with their position coaches because that's all they can technically do is allowed by the NFL.
Right.
And, you know, after that, during OTAs, I mean, there was an aggressive implementation period there, whereas once training camp started, you know, it didn't seem like the players are learning the system in training camp. They're preparing. The learning phase had been done for the past three, four months ahead of time.
They spent the spring, and that was the thing about Raji missing the time at camp, and I think why he was able to perform so well when he came in after missing so long, because he knew his assignments from the time he had spent in April, May, June. You know, they were in there, they were aggressively implementing the entire defense, you know. So I gotta think that played a huge role in it. And like you say, to have all that time to learn your assignments, to take the steps, you know, you step here, you go here, this is your job, blah 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 blah. And then to come into training camp and just start up right with everyone knowing the assignments already, and now all you're working on is refining technique rather than, I guess relearning everything. I think you're absolutely right. I think that played a huge role in what we saw Sunday night. However, it's one game. Now people have lots on tape. Lest I remind everyone, and I have been, Lord knows, I have been nothing but. I've been pining for Dom Capers. I've been trumpeting Dom Capers more than probably anybody else in the Packer blogosphere. However, I will remind everyone of Bob Slowick's first performance as a defensive coordinator.
Yikes. Did you really just say Bob Slowick on this broadcast?
The Panthers on opening night. Shut everybody down, blah, 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 blah. But then when they got it on tape, the next week the Bears came and exploited everything.
Yeah, but
I don't think that happens with Dom Capers.
I was about to say, it's the 3-4, too.
And Dom Capers is a competent defensive coordinator.
I bet half the plays that Dom Capers used in Sunday night's game,
he'll never use again. Yeah, I agree. So, Brian, on top of the Dom Capers love, was there anything on the offensive side that you thought, that you were surprised about, that you noted, that you thought, that's not quite what I expected? I know everyone, there's the headlines, what did you think about the protection, the Allen Barber? Everyone's talked about that, but was there something else that you saw or maybe you missed that you thought was noteworthy?
Well, seeing as you brought up my Dom Capers article, I'll bring up Aaron Nagler's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
There we go.
And Aaron Rodgers is listed among the bad.
Oh, that's right. And in the intro,
Aaron Rodgers got the monkey off his back. He made the fourth quarter comeback. And, you know, he didn't have this great game, but, I mean, that's all that counts, that tally in the win column.
Absolutely. I hear you there. And it's funny that I'm so glad you brought that up, because I did want to talk about that. Initially, I wanted to say, when I went back and I was watching the game, I was pulling clips for the show tonight, initially I wanted to say, yeah, I made a mistake there. You know, but you watch that first quarter, and that kid is so all over the map. This is before he's having protection issues. I mean, this is before he's been thrown to the ground a couple times. I mean, he misses driver so badly on a play that, you know, he hits 1,000 times in preseason. So was I a little harsh on him? Yes. Should he have been in the bad? Probably not. But I don't think it's the stretch that everyone's making it out to be. I mean, he did not get the ball out very quickly a lot of times. He did not, you know, yes, he was on his back a lot on like 3- and 5-step drops, which just shouldn't happen.
It's true.
But, I get completely where you're coming from on that one. I think I expected more from Rodgers, especially in the beginning when he was overthrowing guys. Although, I will say, you're absolutely right, he had receivers dropping passes left and right. I mean, Jordy Nelson on that seam route, the kids had, like, what, 2 drops already? He had 1 all last year, so.
Well, I will take Aaron Rodgers over Jay Cutler.
Oh, who wouldn't? Come on. Except for Greg Bedard. Who wouldn't talk about it today?
Oh.
Greg Bedard's all like, oh, it's one game.
Wait, was
oh, he's a blah, blah, blah.
Was Greg Bedard on the live blog? Because he got invited.
No, he hates us now.
He hates us.
He absolutely hates us now.
No Greg Bedard siren then.
Although I will say, the last time we invited him to come on, the whole show broke down. It was the night the soundboard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was supposed
true.
To be our guest.
That's true.
And the soundboard like melted down.
But he did save our ass one time.
Yeah, so, you know, but he hates us now.
I love Greg Bedard. I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I digress.
So, Brian, what do you think against the Bengals? What do you think happens?
You know, I think it's an easy win. And
shut your mouth. You think it's an easy win?
Yeah, I do. I think it should be an easy win at home. You know, maybe if it's on the road, it's a little bit different here. But
really? You think it's – I mean, did you watch them against Denver?
I don't care what they did against Denver.
Oh, you got to care what they did against Denver.
Denver's in shambles over there, the new coach. And
oh, let me put it this way.
And,
Denver has the same record as the Green Bay Packers.
Brandon Marshall.
Oh, please. No. Hey, Cincinnati is no joke, and it is not going to be an easy win. I think the Packers win the game, but I don't think it'll be easy. I mean, their defense is no joke.
Well, it's hard to go 16-0 if you don't beat the Bengals.
Before I take off here, guys, on the show ends, I wanted to debut a special teams player of the week poll where we let Cheesehead Nation decide the special teams player of the week. I'm going to post it on the live blog right now.
There, as he presses it, ladies and gentlemen, live interaction here at Cheesehead Nation.
So what they
and
say?
I want to see the results, and I want to point out one player here we haven't mentioned yet. We'll see the results here in a second.
I just voted, so there you go. Well, we'll see.
I vote for Jordy Nelson.
Oh, Brett Swain getting the love.
And there we go. That Brett Swain, there's the guy who I wanted to mention.
Swain train.
Stop
coming.
There of the fake punt. You know, he was really aware and stopped Garrett Wolf, and that really was a huge play in the game.
It was a huge play, and you can, you know, and maybe I will later this week, you can juxtapose that with the punt against the Texans where the punter mishandles the punt and then runs for like 30 yards. That play was so unfortunate. So, yeah, in that sense, Sean Slocum, game ball. Game ball. I mean, yeah, come on. The guy completely changed the culture of special teams. Come on. I'm on board with the special teams. I'm on board with Swain, although I voted Desmond Bishop because the guy's a beast.
He is.
So, Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week on Special Teams Talk with Brian Caravu of Railbird Central. We're going to get a snappy title for that yet, I swear to goodness.
One day. Like we'll get a good title for the panelists.
Absolutely. We do. People, send in suggestions because we need help.
Brian Caravu.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Caravu in the house. But Corey, you're just not liking...
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, what?
Yes, what?
I just thought you were going to call me a hater, and I was going to agree with you.
You are a hater. That's all I think.
I really am. I'm kind of an opinionated butthead. I really am. Like, I don't know how my girlfriend deals with me because I'm sitting there talking so much junk about Mike Greenberg. And then there, and then, you know, the first game last night, I'm talking junk. Well, our game, I'm talking junk about Chris Collinsworth, of course, who has.
Okay, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Chris Collinsworth has gotten a lot better. And thank you, ESPN. Thank you. I must say thank you. Thank you for getting rid of Tony Kornheiser and getting us Chucky, because that is like day and night, okay? It's day and night out there. I mean, yes, Ron Jaworski is a hyperbolic thermometer.
Oh, come on, but Ron Jaworski knows
every
football.
Every quarterback is the best quarterback ever to play in the NFL.
No, and kind of Chris
Collinsworth said the same thing. Chris Collinsworth is kind of similar, and that's the problem. Like, Larry McCarron doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't do that.
And if you're the color man, okay,
right.
Your job is to give me perspective on all 32 teams and where this team ranks with those.
Right. And a lot of these, not every guy can be the greatest ever.
Okay, but not every wide receiver can be the best. Now, okay. I agree with you. Greg Jennings is the best wide receiver in the NFL. Okay? So, I agree
Oh, my goodness. He's better than Larry Fitzgerald. That's what you're telling
me. Well, according to Chris Collinsworth, he's the best. He is. He said that twice.
Okay,
in the
game. Speaking of Chris Collinsworth, I have to say this. I have to say this. Oh, my goodness. Could he shut the heck up about Rodgers sliding? He was like,
Oh, Rodgers, that's just horrible.
Yeah, Rodgers slid. He should have dove for the first down.
Chris Collinsworth.
He should have been like John Elway in the Super Bowl. You're right, Chris. He should have dove. Hurt himself and then been out for the year.
Yeah, so we can get Matt Flynn.
Been the dumbest play in the history of Packardom after TJ Rubley audibling in Minnesota. Okay, just shut the hell up about the slide. I couldn't stop yelling at the television. What? And I like Chris Collinsworth, but that was just idiotic. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
Aaron Rodgers needs to slide every time.
It's just ridiculous. He should be like John Elway. Really? He should be like John Elway in the Super Bowl week one? Would you shut up?
Aaron Rodgers needs to slide every time. Let me tell you why. Because I don't want Brian Brom.
Or Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn.
No, but I don't want Brian Brom coming off the practice squad.
Elevated
in
to the
this
53.
Season, okay? I do not want that
to
happen.
It could happen.
You know what? You want to see a grown man cry? You want 53 people want to see a grown man cry? That's what will happen.
No, it's true. It will happen. It'll be unfortunate.
Chris Collinsworth. You know what? You know why Chris Collinsworth is good? Because he's been given every opportunity to be good. I don't know why. He played on one of the worst teams ever.
He was a good receiver.
He's the best wide receiver the Bengals ever had. Okay?
He was a good receiver.
That's saying
he's a good football
zero.
Player. All right, but whoa. Chris Collinsworth has played in the NFL, which nobody on this live blog or you and I here in the studio have ever done, and he did it at a high level. So I'm not going to rip on Chris Collinsworth.
You know what Chris Collinsworth can't do?
Because he knows more than you and I have ever forgotten.
He can't embed script. He can't embed an iframe. You know what? He can't set up a live game day chat.
That is absolutely right. How you like me? No, Chris.
There you go. Let's get back to this. Let's get to somebody I actually like.
Okay, good.
Somebody don't hate on ever.
Yes, please.
I have never hated on.
Who's that?
That's Nick Barnett.
Nick Barnett, absolutely. Oh, and I was speaking of earlier, and we have now got the video. Here's Nick. Here's his dedication. What I was talking about was how well he did coming back from surgery. Only a couple weeks on the field.
Yeah.
Able to, like, actually run with the team.
He's about to show us a secret weapon.
Here he is. This is why
he's so prepared.
Let's
make sure it plays.
Let's hope it plays.
You watch film at the stadium. You watch film at home. But it doesn't stop there. You gotta watch it in the car, baby.
Yeah, baby.
It don't stop, baby. Stay on the grind. I'm gonna pick up something. We're gonna figure out a way to knock Ocho Cinco's helmet off. It's going down. What you call dedication? Yeah, you watch film at the stadium.
Okay, so let me just point something out here. I gotta point this out.
I want to see it.
Gotta watch it.
Absolutely.
In the car, baby.
That's nice. He has a secret weapon right there.
It don't stop. It don't stop, baby.
He is. Twittering, filming, driving, and studying tape all at the same time.
That's got to be illegal.
That's got to be illegal in every state. I mean, Nick, buddy, take care of yourself. We want you for 15 more games, son.
I didn't even think about that, but that is
ridiculous.
Come
on.
He's
doing like 5,000 things at once.
Well, maybe somebody else has the iPhone.
No, it's his, dude. It's his iPhone. He's like filming himself, talking, driving. He's got the game on, and then he's like talking. He switches the thing. He's like, Nick,
I mean,
relax.
I appreciate that he's that hardcore that he wants to watch game film in his car.
but not while you're driving, son.
That's got to be illegal. Exactly. Like somewhere, I know in New York it's illegal. Maybe not in Wisconsin. You know, when you're driving on
Wisconsin, it's like, well, whatever.
You're driving on PP. You're like, let me get
you're through. On 41 after the game. Everybody's drunk. It's all right. It's okay. It's no big deal. It's all right. But so, Nick, just take care of yourself, buddy. We want you all 16, 17, 18 games or more. That's what we want.
You know, there's a play we haven't seen yet. Before the NFL shuts us down, I really want to show this play.
Which one is that?
It's a good play.
Oh, I hope so.
It's actually the best play of the game.
No, it's not. You lie.
Yeah.
You lie.
I mean,
uh-oh.
Somehow I have to play it. There we go.
Oh, yeah. It's all right. What a way to end a segment. What a way to end a show. Come on!
I think we need to show that again.
Oh, we need to put that on loop. Oh, yeah, and there's that. That's just fantastic.
I think he got that from Brett.
He didn't get nothing from Brett. He's his own man.
He got some stuff from Brett.
Okay, no, wait. We would be remiss if we did not note that Alan Barber gets beat. JerMichael Finley, here it comes again. Here we go. And Greg does his, yeah, I'm the man. Okay, watch JerMichael. He's on this side of the line. He just blocks down, and there the guy, I don't know what he's doing. The linebacker just follows JerMichael's like, okay. Yeah, you could have killed Rodgers, but you didn't, and we won the game.
Well, you know, if you get beat on play action there, it's okay.
Yeah, well, which he most certainly did. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We're in the books again. I can't believe it. Another week, another episode of Packer Transplants Live brought to you by Cheesehead Nation.
Want to thank Tony.
Tony, yes, thank you. Tony Wilson. Mike McCarthy's feedback in the house.
Want to thank Jason Wilde.
Wilde for joining us, being a fantastic guest.
You know, I'm very excited about Jason not being with the...
With Wisconsin State Madison Journal, whatever the heck it's called. I am too, because I'm hoping he gets read a little more, because his name is not in the conversation enough.
I don't like ESPN that much, although I do want them to hire me, which is kind of it's kind of like an oxymoron. It's like I want to get hired by ESPN, but I don't really like ESPN.
You just want the paycheck. You're just a whore.
Why is that?
It's all right. It's all right.
They're
just
never
going
to hire me because I talk so much junk. I mean, granted, I only talk junk to 60 people. But, you know, it's there for all posterity.
There it is. So, Jason Wilde, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope he comes back.
Everybody on the live blog, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thanks to all our regular panelists. Please visit all their blogs. They're all fantastic. And Holly, let's just put this out here. Holly, start a blog. Just start a blog.
No. I got a job for Holly.
Oh, Holly, you got a
Holly,
job.
Holly, NFL. You are the NFL Lincolnest person I've ever met. She is perfect for the NFL blog at Cheesehead TV.
So,
I just haven't had the guts to ask her.
Holly.
So I decided to do it on the air.
Live on air. So Holly, there you go.
If you're interested, email me. If you're not,
email him.
Email me and tell me that I'm an idiot.
And everyone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Packer Transplants, another episode in the books. Bengals on Sunday. Brian Caribou says, easy win.